Then the other thing I wanted to say before I welcome our online community is that for the next 3 or 4 weeks, I'll be doing a new series before Christmas, the Christmas series, and I've titled it TED Talks. TED Talks. So here's the thing. Our email address is hello@fathershousesa.org for organization, nothing more. And I'm inviting you to ask anything. Let's just talk about it. You can pick a thing. We'll either respond to it or delete it, but just send it. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll try to have a TED Talk conversation. Are you okay with that? Good. I think I'll define TED Talks as teach, edify, and discern. And we'll have a conversation around some things. I've already got so many emails over the months. But I'd like to hear from you. And can we limit the when will the world end type stuff? I can answer that for you now. We don't know. We don't know. I don't know. Some people know, but I don't think they know. I think they're the only ones that know. Would you please help me welcome our online church? Everybody watching from around the world, welcome to church. Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 4 from the Amplified Bible. My topic of conversation with you today is how to shift from conversion to Christian culture in your life. Christian culture in your life. So while you're finding Genesis, I'm hoping that's not too difficult for you. I really am. If you found it, it's the first book in the Bible. If you haven't found it yet, as I said this morning, welcome to church. We hope you have an amazing time. I want to talk to you about Christian culture, and you'll understand what I mean in a moment. So just by way of a heads up at the beginning, right at the beginning, I'm Greek. I have a Greek culture. Is that okay to say? It's the best culture in the world for me. Right? So I want to define some of those things in a moment. But spending some time with some pastors recently, I shared part of the story this morning. One of the most complicated moments for me is praying grace before eating a meal. I don't know if you're in the same situation, but I'm never quite sure when I'm with new people what the deal is. Do we pray? Don't we pray? Do we pray long? Do we stand and pray? Do we do the prayer you did at boarding school for what we are about to receive? Lord, make us truly thankful. And all the boarding school people said, wow, a lot of you. Do you do what the Greek culture does? You pray after the meal. You pray after the meal. Do you just close your eyes and meditate quietly so that you don't offend anybody around you? I'm never quite sure. As a single person, I pray for my trolley at Woolies. I just pray for the entire grocery shopping, and I just say, Lord, every meal that comes out of this trolley, will you just, I give you thanks and you bless. Because it's really awkward. All the single people understand what I'm saying. It's really awkward when you've made a meal, you're sitting down by yourself. Now you're going to say, can we close our eyes? We bow our heads. Who are you talking to? It's just you. You've been making it the whole time. And then Lord, I just like to thank you for this food. Will you bless the hands? You are the hands that prepare. But will you bless? So it's easier for me when the lady asks me for bags. I just say, Lord, while she puts it in there, just bless each and every item. And may you bless my cooking process. Never quite sure what the process is. So a couple of weeks ago, I was in Durban with some pastors. I hope they don't hear this. And I didn't know what the deal was. And all the food had arrived. Now there's that awkward... New people. We don't know what to do now. I'm a pastor. They're pastors. What do they do? We don't know. And I noticed one of the pastors started eating the chips. So I thought, okay, it's one of those vibes where you just pray for yourself to yourself. So I took the knife and fork and I got into the chicken. And then the main pastor said, can we just pray first? I'm like, okay. Firstly, that's quite rude. Secondly, it was like the chicken's here now. So I said, can I do the praying? Now look, if you're in trouble, own it. And I just said, Lord, I want to thank you for the food we're about to receive and also for the chips that some have already received. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't understand why the carbs don't get prayed for, but the protein, because actually it's the carbs that need the prayer, that they will have no consequence on your life. But perhaps one of the most ultimate, see, what that speaks to is the culture. How we do things is your culture. And some people are saved and converted, but they don't have any Christian culture yet. They don't have a way of doing things that is Christ-centered. And so they enter into a conflict between their conversion and their culture. I told you I was Greek. This is not an attack on a specific type of culture. This is an encouragement towards a Christian culture. I can stay Greek and have a Christian culture. The only difference is my Christian culture overrides all other culture. And let me tell you why. Because my Greek home has a different culture to even another Greek home. So never assume that your culture is universal to your people. It is not. From house to house it changes. And from age to age it changes. Therefore, it becomes necessary for us to find something that never changes, that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hitch your trailer to something that is eternal and then have all the other cultural things as optional. Now, don't lose all cultural things. I think one must still have. Okay, can we have an amen? No amen there. Okay, I'll stick to mine then. I'm happy with mine. There's got to be a conversion, not only of your salvation status, but of your Christian culture. And the reason why that's incredibly important is if we don't do that, we find ourselves constantly in awkward situations. The last awkward prayer situation for me is that I was recently in a home and they all sat down, wonderful meal. I won't tell the Sunday story, but if you weren't here this morning, get listen to the recording. It was, I think it was funny. Was it funny? I think it was funny. I had like a Trevor Noah moment. And so the head of the home said, let's pray for the food. I closed my eyes and everybody else closed their eyes. And nobody prayed. So I assumed it was a silent prayer. You know those kinds of prayers, silent prayers. Just. But now, when does it end? You don't want to be the first guy, you know? Now you're halfway to the chicken, and then the dad's like, and Lord, you know? People kicking me under the table. I didn't know that the culture in that house is if the pastor's visiting, the pastor prays. They're all waiting for me. I realized as they were kicking me under the table, I began the only way I knew how to rescue myself. I said, in this moment of reflection. It was so deliberate. My friend kicked me on the table even harder. Do you have a Christian culture or just a Christian conversion? And the reason why that's important is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, and that's why I asked you to find yourself there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 from the Amplified Bible says, this is the history of the origin of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day, that is days of creation, that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. No shrub or plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no shrub of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist or a fog, dew, vapor used to rise from the land and water the entire surface of the ground. This is an interesting scripture because it's talking about the order God used to create something that grows. And it says God made the earth, then he put seeds in the earth, and he put some mist over it, and an incubation was taking place, if you will. But the assignment couldn't be complete until two things happened. God sent rain from heaven, his favor, and God put a man capable of cultivating the result on the earth. And I want to talk to you today that unless you're cultivating what you're praying for, God can't release the opportunity of growth. See, even creation didn't activate until you did a part and God did a part. God's part was to send the rain. Your part was to cultivate something. And isn't it incredible how that we can pray for blessings and then almost be disappointed in the amount of work a blessing comes with? Do you know that blessings come with a lot of work? You know, you're praying for that husband, that you be blessed with a husband. Can I just tell you, that husband is going to come with a lot of work. Should I not have said that? You know how you're praying for children? That those children are going to come with a lot of work. You know how you're praying? I know you're engaged the other day, 2 days ago, you got engaged. I get it, you're engaged. Hoping to announce another one soon in the general vicinity of the first few rows. But that wasn't a prophecy, that was just a thing. But here's the thing. Every blessing comes with the responsibility of working the field of what God has called you to do. Can I tell you that most of our blessings are limited not by God's desire to bless us, but our desire to cultivate what God is to bless us with? And can I say, Scripture teaches us, and I'll show you in a moment, Scripture teaches us that to cultivate something is not easy. It's deliberate. And so you should never say to yourself, I'm just not like that. You need to remove that kind of language from your mind, and you need to say to yourself, if it's something I'm praying for, God will make me like it. Because if you limit your blessing to what you're like, you develop a small world. But God has an intention to raise you to the level of the seeds in the ground, not to the level of your current capacity. People are shocked by that. People feel like things should be comfortable because then I'm in my comfort zone and this is my sweet spot. Forget about your comfort zone and your sweet spot. Why don't you grow into your destiny spot and into your calling spot? Forget about it. No good big blessing is comfortable. I wish somebody had just told me that earlier. I wish somebody had just said to me, I remember emailing a friend and saying, geez, there's so much pressure pastoring a big church and this has been a tough week. This happened, that happened. And he just emailed me back and he said, get used to it. No, it's not good. I emailed back, deleted him as a friend, blocked him from Instagram. He's still trying to reach me. It's been years. No, he's quite right. If you're going to go for the promised land, then you expect a few giants along the way. You have to cross a couple of rivers. You have to deal with a couple of betrayals in your own camp. You have to step over a few war zones, but you're still going after it. It's not a problem because you're cultivating something. Cultivating something, growing something. You see, things that are sinful are only interruptions to things that you are seeking. And when people get fixated on the sinful thing, then you're forgetting the destination. That's why it's such a problem for you. It's a struggle for you to maintain purity in some area in your life only when you forget that the destination is a righteous marriage. When you've got that focus, understanding what you're cultivating, it's easy to say, I'm going to have to edit those weeds out of my life because I'm cultivating a righteous marriage. Now, don't text anyone tonight and say, I regret to inform you that you're a weed in my life. Please don't do that. And then there's going to be that friend who misunderstands you want weed. I know. That one you delete. That one. Hebrews 6:7. I know you so well. Hebrews 6:7, for soil that drinks the rain which often falls on it and produces crops, see God's part, useful to those for whose benefit it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. You want to receive a blessing from God? Then when the rain falls, have cultivated ground. Cultivated ground. I want to talk to you a little bit about what developing a Christian culture looks like. And I need to commit myself to sticking to a time limit. And now in summer, I think with our TED Talks, we need to finish in a reasonable time. Can we? Is that fair to say? So should we just carry on next week? I think. Maybe. No, I'm teasing. Culture. The definition of to cultivate is to produce a culture of something. Three or four things I want to share with you. And then three or four things. I'll be quick. I've got 11 minutes, 44 seconds. Three or four things I want to share with you about creating the right Christian culture in your life. To create a culture means, number one, to acquire the taste for something, first of all. You need to grasp in your heart that at first it's unfamiliar. And when it's unfamiliar, it feels strange, but only for a season. If you can step past that initial discomfort, you will find a great joy in something after that. It's important for you to understand that if you're going to have a Christian culture in your life, it's not going to feel like your salvation. Salvation feels fantastic. You're shining, you're smiling, you're texting your friends, you're laying hands on everybody on the way home. But when Christian culture starts, it rubs up against you in an uncomfortable way. And then you might start thinking, what's wrong with my Christianity? No, you've now entered the best part of it, the uncomfortable towards blessing part. And some people get put off their Christian faith because the feeling at the beginning dissolves into the work of salvation afterwards. So they look for another feeling. They go to another church service, put their hand up one more time. They get saved again. You know what I mean? You've been there. I've done it. So I've come forward like, Lord, may this one just last longer. Then there's a great preacher. He comes to town. You're like, Lord, if he prays for me, definitely it's going to be permanent. So you get saved one more time. And then your salvation turns into like, culture change. It's very uncomfortable. Change churches, change girlfriends. But what you really need is to say, yes, Lord. You're at that not my will, your will be done part. Go for it. It's wonderful. Secondly, culture is defined as ideas, customs, and behavior of a particular group. Christian culture says there are some things we do because we are Christians. Amen. There are some things we do, my people, the Greeks, because we are Greek. Others look at us and just shake their heads. For example, when we talk amongst ourselves, you might think we're fighting. We're quite aggressive, but in a very loving sort of way. We're aggressive. We throw things and scream it. Now let me tell you, don't. I've been in some other homes. I've visited some homes and it's like the culture is humor by insult. Have you ever been in a home like that? It's like humor by insult. Hey man, you so and so, you're so this and that, the door's too small, this, that, you know. And I'm like, whoa, Satan all over this place. But that's your culture. You need to change it and have a Christ-centered culture. Do you understand what I mean? Change it, not because it affects your salvation. It affects your blessing. Culture produces fruit. Salvation produces sonship. I am his son or daughter, but when I cultivate a life, I produce fruit in it. Thirdly, I love this definition, to maintain something in conditions suitable for growth. Some of us are putting our faith in an environment that is virtually impossible for it to grow. It's virtually impossible. I have a friend who desperately wants to grow plants indoors, but they can't. They must just stop killing the plants. It's too depressing to watch. They phoned me the other day, a couple, and they said, can you come see about our plant? Our plant is dying. I said, no problem, but I'm not laying hands on plants. I've got enough work to do laying hands on people. I go and I see the plant. It's like, my recommendation is that you need to get plastic plants. They're going to look green. Every now and then you can even spray them a little bit, but please stay away from the living ones. First of all, it's in a bathroom with no window. So where's it going to get light from? And then it's in a container that's like microscopic and the plant is desperately creeping out, hoping for. I said, when last did you water it? They said, well, they told me not to overwater it. They said I must water it once or twice a month. No, it says once or twice a week on the container a week. Once or twice a week, you must get plastic plants. What you're doing is murder. Now, as funny as that might be, I have to wonder sometimes if some people aren't putting their Christianity in its culture, in an environment for it to be impossible to grow. You stick it in a dark room with no light, so I don't know how it's supposed to grow. The container's so small, it's squished into the smallest corner of your life. The Bible instruction says water weekly, you've decided once a year. So there it lies half dead, and then you're Facebooking all your friends. I don't know about this Christianity thing. Too much. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, you see, then what you do is it keeps dying, so you throw it away, and then you do what I advised. You get a plastic faith. It looks so nice. Every now and then we spray it with a bit of water so it kind of looks real, but it isn't. And you know it. It's fake. Pause for awkward effect. My notes say. One last thing. 5 minutes to go. This part is for free. It's a bonus point. Bonus point. One of the definitions of culture is to become hidden or shut off from view. I did some homework on that, and this is absolutely for free. Use it, don't use it, throw it away, don't text it to anyone. But one of the definitions of unhealthy culture is when it's too hard to get into something or too hard to get out of something, there is a word for it. It's called a cult. If it's too hard to get in and too hard to get out, it's called a cult. It is a false kind of culture. It's called a cult. By that definition, there are too many cults out there. Three things I want to encourage you to cultivate, and then we're baptizing outside. And is there like food or stuff? I don't know what's going on here tonight. Is there food afterwards in Seattle? Oh, pancakes. Oh. The plan is until the 7th of January to have like supper outside, like food truck thing. And I've spoken to some guys about that, but I didn't know when it would start, so that's what I'm asking. But if you buy pancakes, you send young people to camp. Three things to cultivate, I'd like to encourage you to do. Number one, cultivate clarity in your faith. When you are vague, other cultures influence you more than your biblical culture. Be clear about something. Clear about who you are, where you go, what you do. Clear about your church life and your faith life. Nobody is doing nothing. They're just getting other cultures to fill in. A parent said to me the other day, I get nothing out of coming to church on a Sunday. My child screams just about the whole service. I said, you're personally getting nothing out of it, but your family is getting the culture of being in church on Sunday. And if you get nothing out of it for months and even years, be joyful that 15 years from now, you're not phoning me and saying, George, my daughter has lost the plot. Can you help? I won't need to have that conversation because you established the culture that whether we're in a screaming day or in a celebrating day, we go to the house of the Lord. It's culture. That's culture. Now, culture doesn't convert you, but culture blesses you. It blesses you. The very earth itself didn't grow until there was a man available to cultivate it. Philippians 2:12 says, "So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation, that is, cultivate it. Bring it to the full effect. Actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ." Clarity. Secondly, have conviction. Have conviction. I'm amazed at the things people get upset about and the things they don't. Sometimes I think, you're upset about that, but none of this bothers you. Conviction is the differentiator that says, this is where I will apply my emotional energy to. It's your conviction. To be truthful, if you give me your cell phone for a day, I'll find out where your convictions are. They're in the things you're texting and the things you're posting and the things you're liking. Those are your convictions. They're not hard to work out. Some of you are like, control, delete, everything. Tonight you're reloading software, which might be a good idea, but that one. Colossians 3:15 says that the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. For some of you, that's all you came to church for. Go back to that sentence. Thank you. Stop going off and doing your own thing. There is no gospel according to me in the Bible. And someone's going to come and say, oh, but what if I'm Luke or Mark or John? You can be, but all of them were martyred for their faith. So let the peace of Christ stop going off doing your own thing. Cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ have the run of your house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. Ooh, that's a gift that's missing. No, but really, it's missing. Pastor, pray for me. What's wrong? My foot is bleeding. Why? Because I've been hitting it with a hammer. Okay, I'm not praying for your foot. I'm praying for your decisions. And then I'm going to rebuke the hammer and the brain that told that. I'm going to rebuke all that. Your foot will fix itself. People are praying for stuff. It's like at the end of a long line of demonic stuff. Oh, and sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your life, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Someday I'll talk about cultivating gratitude, because that's one of the most powerful things to cultivate. You know that that's something God can't do for you. God is God. He can do everything, but he can't make you grateful, because then you would have no will. So he relies on you to initiate gratitude. And then lastly, conversation. Cultivate biblical conversation. I shared this in the morning service. I had a few people say, oh, that was for me, so I'm hoping I'll get the same effect tonight. People often email me or in conversation ask me, should Christians stop swearing? You know, is there a verse in the Bible that says this word is wrong or that word is wrong? There isn't a verse in the Bible that specifically uses words, obviously. Obvious. It'd be in the Bible then. There is a verse in the Bible that says, let no unwholesome talk proceed from your mouth, but only that which is useful to the hearer. I did say that knowing some of my friends, they're going to say to me, no, they need to hear this word. I'm going to. I'm helping them. I'm helping them by saying what I'm going to say. So I guess the focus is you got to grow your faith accordingly, but you might be asking the wrong question. It's not so much what you shouldn't be saying. Christian culture is, what are you saying that is Christ-centered? Do you know how to say a little bit more than God bless? I mean, keep that one. Everybody's got one. Keep it. But do you know how to say the other stuff, like, this wouldn't be acceptable to my faith? It's not what we do. I won't be able to do that because it conflicts with my Christian conscience. So the Christians, sometimes we're good at don't say that. It's a good start. But are you saying the Christian culture things? Are you saying that? Way over time, 3 minutes. Someone said to me the other day, don't you have like guys from the metro in your church? Whenever a sentence starts like that, I'm like, phew. The answer is yes. Can't you organize someone like to organize a thing like there's a thing with my water meter or like, I'm like, oh, Lord. No, I can't. Let me tell you why. Because my Christian faith requires of me to walk a straight and narrow line. Do you know why? I'm not afraid of punishment. I'm working towards blessing. I'm cultivating the seeds so that they may be blessed. Now you're coming with a thing that's going to rob my blessing. Can't do that. Because it's putting weeds into the landscape of my cultivated future. Can't do that. Do you know what the definition of a weed is? What makes a weed a weed? I mean, it's not somebody sitting in a chair somewhere going, ugly weed, pretty stay. There are some plants we think are weeds here that are actually considered quite lovely elsewhere. Dandelions, for instance. Like I get photographed. I see some people have put them on their walls, vinyl, you know, those little things that fly away. But you dig them out your garden. It's like, ah, ugly yellow flower, but it's on the wall. But it's out. The definition of a weed is something that steals water and light from something else you want to grow. Should we pray? Would you please stand with me? Thank you, thank you. Please don't exit just yet. Our crew are going to get ready at coffee shop, and if you're visiting, pop into the visitor's lounge. It's known as the Dream Team or the Welcome Lounge. And if you're getting baptized, just do what you've got to do as far as being ready and meet us at entrance 3. We've got a new baptismal pool thing that was made by someone in the church. If you're wondering why we don't do it in the front anymore, we will maybe from time to time, but it was a safety thing. A lot of water on a concrete floor, people walking around, slipping. There was some concern about that. So we've lit it up. It's under the cross. We've got a plan. Love is in the details. Could I pray with you for a moment? And my prayer will be to go from conversion to culture. It doesn't mean you don't have to be Greek anymore. Substitute, whatever. It does mean, though, there's something more powerful that overrides every other culture in your life. And that is Christ culture. So, Lord, we pray tonight that you will teach us the blessing of a well-cultivated life, to acquire a taste for the things that are righteous, to create an environment in which something living can grow, to have an open-hearted mindset so that that which is important to you becomes important to us also. Will you teach us in our journey, in our walk with you, to have a faith that is not only a feeling on a good day, but that we're willing to go through the work of preparing the soil for something good. And tonight we pray that every weed thing that is stealing water and light from something we need and want will be removed. Give us the conviction for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Would you give God a shout of praise and thanksgiving?